All right. First, Rav Doron already thanked Kevin and his wife, who's not here, right? Your wife's not here. She's upstairs. Okay, but I'll just thank you again. Kevin and Evie have been very gracious to us for hosting Shiro in their house over the past couple of years. The last year or so has been a little less because Kevin's been out of the country, maybe even more than he's been in the country. I'm not sure. But always is interested in hosting Shiro and having things here when we can actually work out the time. So yashar koach to both of you. Thank you very, very much. Okay, we're going to take a little bit of a different track direction right now from Rav Doron, which was more in terms of machshava and hashkafa and musar, and we're going to move into the world of halacha when it comes to Tisha B'Av. And the main topic that we're going to discuss is all of the differences in halacha when it comes to Tisha B'Av this year, where Tisha B'Av falls out on Motzei Shabbos and on Sunday. It affects actually a wide range of different halachas related to this week, the week before, Shabbos, Erev Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av itself, and Motzei Tisha B'Av. And we're not going to have time to go through each one in detail, but hopefully we'll at least give a survey of the different areas of halacha which it affects and the things that are the practical halachas that come out from that. Before we do that, just one little word of hashkafa to start with. It's interesting when you think about the concept of Tisha B'Av falling out right after Shabbos. And hashkafically, I thought of two different sort of contrasting ideas which are worthwhile to keep in mind. You think about Shabbos is our beautiful day of rest. Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's the day that we think about, we're trying to be like as if we're in Gan Eden, ultimate enjoyment and pleasure, both physical and spiritual. And Tisha B'Av is almost exactly the opposite. We're mourning, we don't eat, we sit on the floor, etc., etc. So one way of looking at this could be that when it comes to Tisha B'Av and Shabbos, ideally the way we want Tisha B'Av to be is to be this year. The Tisha B'Av that we're hoping for in the future is going to be that Tisha B'Av is almost going to be like Shabbos. Rav Doron mentioned at the beginning, we hope, the Gemara says, and we know, the Navi even says that Tisha B'Av, in the days when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, is going to turn from a day of mourning into a holiday, into a celebration. And this year is almost the fulfillment of that by celebrating on Shabbos, which is actually the day of Tisha B'Av, is sort of like a hope for the future that we hope one day Tisha B'Av is going to be the way that we've celebrated this year. On the other hand, the contrast between the two, Tisha B'Av, Shabbos, of the special, you know, excitement and celebration and simcha and oneg and all these things, and straight into Tisha B'Av is such a jarring difference. It's a jarring impact. It's as if you're in the clouds and it suddenly fell down to the ground with a big thud. That's how you should feel when you move from Shabbos to Tisha B'Av. They're so different from each other. To say we were on the top, we were, you know, on the clouds, enjoying ourselves so much, and suddenly, now reality hits, and we're mourning. We have no Beis HaMikdash. God is gone. Ki'ilu, he's not gone, but we don't see him as much as we did before. And that contrast is also something to think about. It really sort of parallels the first Tisha B'Av, the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Really, both times, first and second temple. The Jews at the time didn't believe the temple was going to be destroyed. They couldn't believe that it was possible that God would abandon them. And the Navi says this also, that they said, how can it be? We're bringing korbanos, and we have a Beis HaMikdash, and God would never want us to not have the Beis HaMikdash. And it happened, because the Jews, as Rav Doron discussed in detail, for, again, first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, for different reasons, but they did it. They deserved it. After everything that they did in both, again, we talked about three sins and Sinas Chinam, they deserved it. And afterwards, they were still talking. They couldn't believe it. They were still fighting, as Rav Doron said. How can it be that we lost the temple? Such a jarring difference between a world where you can see everything that God does and you understand everything that's happening and you know what God wants you to do, and a world of darkness and cloud and thinking, I have no idea where I'm supposed to go, what am I supposed to do next, why are my people being attacked and destroyed, and etc., 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 etc. And that also is something to think about for this year, to try to feel that distinction, that difference between the world of Shabbos and the world of Me'ein Olam Haba and the world of Tisha B'Av, the difference, and feel how the Jews felt after the temple was destroyed. We're used to it now, but we have to make ourselves as ki'ilu we're not used to it. We have to feel all the time that we want the temple, and we can feel what the temple should have been like, even if we never actually experienced it, and then fall and say, wow, look at us now, look at everything that happens in our world. We're attacked, we have no idea what to do with ourselves, there's fighting, etc., 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 etc. So that's another thought to think about this year on Tisha B'Av, Shechal B'Shabbos, and Motzei Shabbos, something we can take out of that and ponder. Okay, Point number one, halachically. So the first issue which comes up this week, which is not quite as practical, but we'll mention anyway, is whether there is a concept of Shavua Shechalbo. In the Gemara, they talk about the concept of the week before Tisha B'Av. There are certain halachos which apply only during the week prior to Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara mentions, and the halacha mentions a whole bunch of them, including, as we all know, laundry, and including new clothes, and including meat and wine, and all sorts of other things. And the question is, for these halachas, is Shavua Shechalbo this year the same as Shavua Shechalbo every other year? Because this year, Tisha B'Av falls out Sunday, and the question is whether this week is the same thing as Shavua Shechalbo.
Now,
okay, so the bottom line is we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. For Ashkenazim, it doesn't make very much of a difference. Okay, why is that? Because for Ashkenazim, the custom according to the Rama is that most of the halachas, all the halachas that I just mentioned, and most of the halachas that have to do with Shavua Shechalbo, both halacha and custom minhag halacha. Rama holds that they all apply from Rosh Chodesh Av and onward. So for Ashkenazim, almost everything will be starting from Rosh Chodesh Av regardless, including this year. For Sfardim, we have at least you. Anybody else here Sfardi?
No. I'm sorry.
No, that's just you. Okay. So for Sfardim, it makes a big difference.
No,
right. It's okay. You don't have to feel bad. It's okay. You don't have to stay up for every day of Elul saying Slichos at 12 o'clock at night, or husband, or whatever. The Sfardim win some, they lose some, you know, that's just how it is. So for this area, so Sfardim actually have a big difference, because for Sfardim, all the halachos, many of the halachos that we just mentioned, we're not going to detail them now, only apply during Shavua Shechalbo, do not apply from Rosh Chodesh Av. And there's a big question. So from the Shulchan Aruch, we're not going to go into the details, the Shulchan Aruch implies that this week is not Shavua Shechalbo, meaning that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos or Sunday, the halachas of Shavua Shechalbo do not apply. And therefore, for Sfardim would be allowed to eat meat and drink wine this week. Sfardim would be allowed to wash clothing and do a bunch of other things. It may not include singing, and music may not be included in that. Wearing new clothes may not be included in that. Again, we're not going to go into the details now. Have to distinguish. But that's what happens when it comes to Sfardim. For Ashkenazim, I'll just give you one example for a Shavua Shechalbo question. There's a big machlokas about whether you can cut your nails during the 9 days. Many poskim are mekel, some are machmir. So for that, the bottom line is that Shavua Shechalbo may actually make a big difference. And for that, there is room for Ashkenazim to be mekel during this week, if one did not cut nails beforehand, or even if they did. So there is room to mekel for cutting nails during Shavua Shechalbo. There are a few other aspects as well, which I'm not going to go into now, because not so practical in most situations. But again, just be aware, this is a big question in halacha. Just be aware that it makes a difference this year.
Is that like a big evidence on the nails? Or is
that... Not really. The poskim that allow it say that it's fine. And even for this year, they seem to say that that it's okay. The only shaila is maybe on Friday, maybe it's more the problem, because it's Friday afternoon, it's right before the ninth of Av. Again, it's hard to understand the different logic on each side, so I'm not going to go into it. What is that? So some people do say that. Some people say that if it's not called Shabbos, it's okay. And others say, well, no, because Shabbos is the ninth of Av, maybe Dafka should be more machmir. Again, if you didn't do it before, maybe it's okay. But it seems to be that during the rest of the week is definitely fine. Friday afternoon is a question, so try to do it beforehand if you're able to. Everybody would agree, by the way, for a woman going to the mikvah Friday night, that if she needs to cut her nails and do other things like that on Friday afternoon, that would be permissible.
If you said that the Mechaber says it's not Shavua Shechalbo, it sounds like Tisha B'Av is when the Takana is when it's mikvah, it actually falls on your Av, not Tet Av B'Chlam.
Correct. Basically, what they're saying is whenever Tisha B'Av is observed, that's what creates the Shavua Shechalbo. So if Tisha B'Av is not observed until Sunday, even if the actual ninth of Av is on Shabbos, we still, the Rishonim of the Shulchan Aruch is following seem to say that that's not at the status of Shavua Shechalbo.
But when it's on Friday, even Friday afternoon, it's not Erev Tisha B'Av at all.
For most things, which is why you're right. The question of the cutting nails is a bit of a question why that is, and not everybody agrees to that, by the way, what I just told you. It's not, some Achronim say that. I saw the Sefer, the Piskei Tshuvos, which I have here. He seems to say that there is reason to be machmir like that. But you're right, logically, it's a little hard to understand. If you wanted to have a whole shiur on that, we can spend the next half an hour talking about it, but I think we're going to move on to other things. We can talk about it afterwards. But you're right, point taken. I agree with you. It's a little hard to understand. Okay, for that point that Mark mentioned, so let's move into the next issue of what is the status of Shabbos. Okay, I mean, Shabbos this year is actually the ninth of Av, yet it's not Tisha B'Av. It's not the fast of Tisha B'Av with all the restrictions. So the question is there any status of Tisha B'Av in terms of halacha when it comes to Shabbos? So the answer is possibly. Let's take three different areas of halacha, or four different areas, very briefly, and discuss how each one is relevant. The first one is mitzvah's ona, okay? The mitzvah, again, when it's a mitzvah of having marital relations. So generally say that Friday night is a nice time to fulfill that mitzvah. When it comes to this year Friday night, so it's a machlokas in the poskim whether one should one is permitted to have marital relations or not. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say that it's mutter. If you want to see it inside, I'm not going to read it inside, but Siman Tav Kuf Nun Dalad Si'if Yud Tes, where he basically says that if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, everything is permissible, even marital relations. And the Ramah says some people say that not marital relations, and he says that's the custom. So the bottom line is, kind of skipping the lundus here, the bottom line is that Sfaradim generally are makil about this. Those that want to be, it would be mutter. And Ashkenazim generally are machmir to avoid having relations on Friday night. The reason why is because apparently the Ramah holds that there are some aspects of Tisha B'Av when it comes to Shabbos. What is that? Maybe certain aspects that are what we call Dvarim Shebitzina. Things that are not public aspects of mourning, but private demonstrations of mourning, which, again, marital relations is one of them. Again, it's hard to understand. A point well taken, but that's what the Rishonim say, because it's actually the ninth of Av, so maybe it's the same thing as if, let's say, God forbid, a person's relative died on Shabbos, and they haven't been buried yet. So Shabbos is Shabbos, and most things you still keep Shabbos, but there are a couple things. In Hilchos Avelos, there we do hold that you should keep the practices of Avelos when it's done in private. And this is one of them. And we'll see the next one in just a second.
Unless it's Mikra night.
So that's the exception that the Mishnah Berurah mentions, which I was about to mention, is that if it's Leil Tevila, if it's the night of going to the mikvah, then this doesn't apply. Meaning because it's a machlokas, so the bottom line is that there is a mitzvah of Ona, and that the fact that it's the ninth of should not stand in the way. Okay, next point. Any other quick questions on that? Good. Okay. Shabbos afternoon. So, if you remember, on Erev Tisha B'Av in a regular year, there's two main aspects of the afternoon of Tisha B'Av that come into play. And one of them is learning Torah. You know, the Ramah says that the practice, and this is not a halacha, this is a custom, but he says the custom is not to learn Torah on the afternoon of Erev Tisha B'Av, because we're getting ourselves into the mood, it's time of mourning, etc., etc. And if you're learning Torah, so either the two ways this is understood is either the Torah will make you happy right now and we're trying to get into a sad mood, or number two, maybe you're going to be so excited about what you're learning that you're going to keep thinking about it after Tisha B'Av begins. And after Tisha B'Av begins, then you can't be learning anymore, and then that can't be in your mind now. We should all be to the point where we actually are in that state of mind, that we're still thinking about the shiur that we heard 10 hours beforehand, you know, in the morning, we're still thinking about it at Tisha B'Av night. We should get to that point. And some big Rabbanim were at that level, by the way. They said, I can't stop learning on Tisha B'Av, it's too hard for me, I just can't do it. Anyway, Halavai, we'll be at that sometime in our lives. For the rest of us, so the Ramah says that you're not supposed to learn Torah on a regular Erev Tisha B'Av. Others disagree. The Vilna Gaon says, no, there's no such thing. It's not really a halacha. And Bittul Torah, etc., etc., you should definitely learn on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. The Ramah, of course, would say you could learn, just better learn about things related to Tisha B'Av. The question is, when it comes to Shabbos, okay, maybe even more learning takes place on Shabbos for us, is there a problem of learning Torah which is not related to Tisha B'Av on Shabbos afternoon this year? And the answer is, it's machlokas, as you might have guessed. So the Ramah actually says that that this idea also applies on Shabbos. He says that if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, ein omrin Pirkei Avos, those that have the custom to say Pirkei Avos on Shabbos afternoon, they shouldn't say it. Okay, very interesting. And other Achronim, the Taz, and others say, what are you talking about? Okay, how can you say on Shabbos? Okay, how can you say on Shabbos that that you can be mvatal limud Torah when you would have learned Torah otherwise? And they say that there's no such thing. What's the logic of those that say that you should be, you know, you should avoid learning Torah? It's the same logic that Dvarim Shebitzina is something that's done in private, meaning learning Torah is not something that if you don't learn, somebody's going to say, hey, look at them, they're not learning Torah when they should have been learning Torah. Why are they doing that? Nobody's going to notice. Nobody's going to realize. So when it comes to that, again, we're not finished yet. I'll talk about having a shear in just a second. When it comes to that, so that's why those that say that are machmer say we should machmer. Mishnah Berurah says the bottom line is that you could be makil. Okay, why? Because number one, Shabbos is a strong grounds to say that it shouldn't apply. And number two, we said before, the Vilna Gaon and others say that even when it's not Shabbos, they're makil on learning Torah. So he says if you want to, you can definitely learn Torah on Tisha B'Av afternoon when it's not related to the halachas or the hashkafa of Tisha B'Av. Others are machmer, the Chazon Ish is machmer, and others are machmer. I should mention also, there's also a machlokas about whether you have a public shir. Is it okay to have a public shir on Shabbos afternoon? So some posts my Sarav al-Yashav actually held that you shouldn't. That's something that's going too far. Meaning it's one thing to talk about private learning at Shabbat, but to have a public, regular shir on Erev, on Shabbos, which is the ninth of Av, he said that's going too far and you should not do that. And I would say it's the opposite, because if you normally have a regular shir every single week, so then it's demonstrating avelus by not having the shir. Yeah. Not that I saw. Not that I saw. It's an interesting question. Not that I saw. Not on this point. Not on other points, maybe.
The Chazanish would say no.
Yeah. Again, there's a lot of different opinions about this point. I'm just sharing with you some of them.
If you have a weekly shiur on Shabbat, you should dafka not have it.
So it's machlokas. Gerol Yashiv is saying that public shiur is you shouldn't have, because that's going above and beyond the question of just learning Torah. That's like having a real shir. That's sort of like even more, you know, against the idea of Tisha B'Av. But other posts can say that even Psakar Vavol Yashiv doesn't apply when you have a regular weekly shir. And that makes sense, because if the shir is kavua, and this is, I think, halach l'maisa, you can follow. For those, I don't know who's having the afternoon shir this week, but if you're having Mukhti Moran, I don't know who's shir. What'd you say? Right, okay, so we'll get that in just a second. But the halacha would be, if you have a regular shir, daf yomi, or whatever else, the kutim aran, whatever it is, on Shabbos afternoon, if you don't have the shir, it'll be obvious that the reason you're not having the shir is because it's before Tisha B'Av, then that's a public demonstration of avelus, and that I think everybody would agree that you don't have to, you don't and you should not cancel the shir. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rabbi Yosha wasn't talking about a regular weekly shir, he was talking about a one-time shir, mm-hmm. You know, about the halachas of, you know, who knows what, the halachas of toys on Shabbos or something.
What'd
you say? It's a machlokas, okay? It's a machlokas. Make or then you can follow the Mishnah Berurah. I don't think that's considered to be a shir. So make or then you can follow the Mishnah Berurah and you can be makil and you can learn. And others say should be more machmir. I would say like this, okay? If you're not going to learn Torah, this is my bottom line. If you don't know my bottom line is like this. If you're not going to learn Torah otherwise, I think absolutely should follow the Mishnah Berurah. You should learn whatever you're going to learn. If it's Daf Yomi, if it's a regular other Gemara, Halacha, Tanakh, whatever it is, you should definitely learn. Okay. However, I think there's something to be said for getting ourselves into the mood of Tisha B'Av, and especially in our generation, we really don't feel it. Okay. It used to be in previous generations, from Rosh Chodesh Av, they felt it. They walked around, people had, you know, sackcloth ashes, crying in the streets. You know, people knew it was the nine days. Today, you know, it's pretty normal out there, even here in Eretz Yisrael. Again, Baruch Hashem, we don't have too many other horrible things that are happening here, but I think we need to get ourselves more in the mood, and therefore if there's a way to have your learning and channel your learning towards Tisha B'Av, either if it's a chavrusa, private learning, or a shir, which is happening, I guess, for some of the shirim, that's really the best thing. Again, if is it required? No, according to the Mishnah Berurah, but, you know, I think that's the best way of thinking about Tisha B'Av, is to have a topic which is related to Tisha B'Av. Any other questions on this point? No. Okay.
This is from afternoon?
From Chatzos and on.
Chatzos.
Yeah. Okay. Next.
The rabbi just said about they have to say the same thing about the crystal map for Christmas Day or something, that you're not allowed to.
Okay, well, Havdil El Havdil.
If anybody sins about learning Torah, I'll take them upon myself.
Right, right.
I'll learn Torah.
You mean the night of December 25th? The night of December 25th, yeah. Kratzmach, they say. So that's because they say that maybe the Torah that you learn goes to the Sitra Achra, goes to. What did you say? I'm sorry, that's right. In Jewish calendar, correct. Yeah, Erev, yeah, that's what I meant. Here, at least, there's a halachic, you know, basis for it, rather than a you know, hashkafic basis, which is not based on very much. You know, those days it was based on the fact that they were going to get killed or get, you know, beaten up in the streets if they would go to the Mishmash to learn. Thank God here we don't have to worry about that. Okay, next point. When it comes to Sudash Lishit, so is there anything different about Sudash Lishit this year for Erev Tisha B'Av? So, of course, again, I think everybody knows this, but of course, the Suda HaMafsekes, meaning what we do every other Erev Tisha B'Av, the last meal being eggs, hard-boiled eggs, and bread, which is burnt a little bit, sitting on the ground, not making a zimun. Hopefully everybody knows what I'm talking about. If not, we can speak about it at a different time. That's the general practice for Suda HaMafsekes before Tisha B'Av. So everybody agrees that does not apply this year. Okay, because it's Shabbos, that would be a public demonstration of Avelus, and that is clearly not the case. And the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, really, that this year you're allowed to have whatever you want in terms of Sudah Mafsekes. He says, "Ochel basar v'shosa yain." You could eat meat and drink wine even at your Sudah. Umala al Shulchan Aruch afilu b'Sudah Shlomo beis Malchuso. Again, very famous line. You can even have on your table as great, as big a meal, as lavish a meal as Shlomo HaMelech had during the time that he was a king. Okay, it was, which was pretty lavish. So Sudash Lishi, you can really have whatever you want. That's the strict halacha according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara. Some Rishonim understood that you shouldn't have more than you normally have, but the halacha, the bottom line halacha is you can have whatever you want. Okay, I mean, if you choose to have meat, even if you never have meat at Sudash Lishi, if you choose to have meat this year at Sudash Lishi for whatever reason, halachically it's allowed, and you don't have to feel bad about it. There's really no reason not to do it according to the bottom line halacha. Okay? That's point number one. Point number two, there's a restriction on time. Again, as you may have guessed, as they say, the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to stop at Shkia. Meaning the same way that the fast of Tisha B'Av starts every other year at Shkia, so here too, even though it's Shabbos, and even though every other Shabbos, you can continue eating after Shkia for Sudat Shlishit, this year you have to stop at Shkia. That's very important. Make sure you give yourself enough time to start early and have enough time to eat yourself. And for those of us who have younger kids, make sure you have enough time to give your kids food also and still have time to eat yourself, etc., etc. We found that's a problem for us sometimes in past years before fast days, that we factor in how much time we need to eat now, not how much time they need to eat with our help. So again, make sure you give yourself enough time to do that. But again, you can have whatever you want. Depending on how old they are. If they're
nine,
so again, if they're going to fast a little bit, then they probably shouldn't. Anybody over, you know, under age, we'll say anybody under age 9 for sure. For sure, you can they can eat before, they can eat after. Anybody over age 9, again, halakhically it's allowed, but again, this is not a specifically this year question. But you know, that's the age they at least at night. There shouldn't be any reason why they need to why they shouldn't fast at night. Okay, from hours of 7 o'clock till they go to sleep, should not be, you know, any reason why they shouldn't fast. Do they have to fast? No, they don't have to fast. But it's a nice idea, and I think most kids want to feel part of the fast. Most kids want to fast, you know, at night a little bit, and even in the morning. My experience has been a lot of kids would like to fast in the morning for at least an hour or two, even if they don't have to. And again, obviously, you don't want your kids fast too long, even though my kids sometimes go a little bit above and beyond here. Again, we're not going to talk about this now, but some of my kids have fasted full fast already from the time they were 7 at the protests of myself and my wife. And they don't listen to us, and Baruch Hashem, they turned out okay. So, but anyway, that's not specifically for this year. Point number three, is there any difference in terms of Zmiro singing at Sudash Lishi? Interesting question. May never have thought about it. So Rav Moshe Feinstein actually has a shuva about it in Chelek Dalet and Nigros Moshe. And Rav Moshe says that singing is fine. He says Zmiros is fine, as you might expect. You can sing whatever Zmiros you want to sing at Sudash Lishi. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was quoted in Halicha Shlomo as saying that you can sing whatever Zmiros you normally sing, but he thought you shouldn't sing any extra Zmiros. Meaning any Zmiros that are not part of your regular repertoire or things that you wouldn't sometimes sing at Sudash Lishi, you shouldn't daf it. Choose to add in, you know, singing all these fast, happy, enjoyable songs, you know, till the week, you know, till it gets dark outside on this year. So again, my, you know, personal feeling about this is after Shkia, it might be a good idea. Again, I don't know if this is required. If Shlomo Zalman didn't say you have to do this, it sounded like it was a recommendation. But it might be a good idea to sing, if you're going to sing songs that have to do with, you know, the Beis Hamikdash and the Churban and our longing for HaKadosh Baruch and our longing for the Beis Hamikdash. You know, the slow songs, Yerushalayim Yerecha, and, you know, Yemeshkech Yerushalayim, all those kind of songs. I think that sort of slowly moves us into the mood from Shabbos into Tisha B'Av, in a way which you can sort of actually get your mind into it. You don't want a situation where you have, yeah, it's Shabbos and it's Tisha B'Av, and your mind, you're just not in it. You're not there. This is one way, if you're a singer, to say Divrei Torah about, you know, things that are related to the day of Tisha B'Av or the Churban or whatever. It's a nice way to move into the day and feel the Avelus coming slowly before nightfall.
Is this before or after Shkia, or just when our Sudash
Lishi is? They didn't make a distinction. Rav Moshe said it's fine to sing songs. Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't say before or after Shkia. I'm just saying, you know, there's more reason, you know, just logically, after Shkia to start being, you know, feeling that it's more, you know, of a slow time to sing songs because it's already partially Tisha B'Av. Okay, again, do you have to do that? I don't know if you have to do it. It's not clear if you have to do it, but I think it's a good idea. And again, most people that sing songs, as Mira said, Sudash Lishi is mostly slow songs anyway. Most people don't, again, not everybody, but I'm saying that's, I think that's more common than fast songs. Last quick point about the Sudash Lishi. I don't know how common this is, but if there's a question about inviting friends for Sudash Lishi, having other people at your meal that are not there, you know, sharing Shabbos with you, so it's a machlokas whether you're allowed to do that or not. Meaning if you do not normally have other families or friends for Sudash Lishi, so some posts can say you should not do so this year at Sudash Lishi on Shabbos, and others say no, you know, it's perfectly fine. So again, that's, you can go either way on that one. Again, I would say if you have no reason to invite friends for Sudash Lishi, I don't know if I would go out of my way to do it, but if you want to for some important reason why you need to, or you're certainly, if you're having a family for Shabbos with you, then for sure it's fine. But even otherwise, if you have a reason, you know, there's what to be make on. Okay, next point, this is getting to the real key issues of Shabbos and Motzei Tisha B'Av. how do we end Shabbos and begin Tisha B'Av? How does it work? So the first thing is that the Rama says in general that on Motzei Shabbos that we take off our leather shoes after nighttime, meaning after Tzeis HaKochav, after nightfall, as opposed to the rest of the restrictions. The rest of the restrictions that we talk about on Tisha B'Av of eating and drinking and anointing and all those kinds of things. So the main five restrictions also apply at Shkia, okay, with the exception of shoes, which I'll get to in a second. Okay, but the other four apply at Shkia just like eating and drinking. Okay, if once Shkia comes, you can't do any of the other things anymore. When it comes to wearing shoes, and also, by the way, when it comes to sitting on a low bench, so that applies only after it gets dark. Okay, that's the custom. That's what they discuss. That's the custom. The Rama says it's only after Baruch Hu. If you go to Shul, after you say Baruch Hu, then you take off your shoes. However, the custom here in Yad Vashem, in most places, it's been the last couple of years, and in many other places as well, at least when you can do this, is the following. And this, I'm assuming this is going to happen this year also, but I didn't check, but I'm assuming so, is that people are not in Shul from the time that it gets dark and already starting tomorrow. What usually happens is, because everybody lives in such close proximity to the Shul, so you'll be at home when Shabbos is over, whatever time, the official time is this year, 8:25 or something like that. Then you say, right afterwards, say, Baruch HaMavdim in Kodesh L'chol. Okay, and then afterwards you can do malacha. And after that point, then you change into whatever clothes you want to change into. It seems like you shouldn't really be wearing Shabbos clothes on Tisha B'Av. You don't have to take off everything, but you can, you know, definitely you shouldn't be wearing your complete Shabbos clothes when you go to Shul. At that point, you would take off your leather shoes and put on whatever Tisha B'Av shoes that you have. And we'll get to the question of Havdalah. Whatever aspect of Havdalah you're going to say, which is going to be the Bracha Vorei Mori Ha'esh, that also is going to be done at this time. Okay? After you do that, about 10 or 15 minutes later, that's when Ma'arav is going to be called for in most of the shuls. And then you walk to shul with your kinos and with your Tisha B'Av shoes, etc., etc., etc. And this solves a lot of the problems that people have in other places where you have a question of where you can't bring your Tisha B'Av clothing or your sidurim or whatever to shul on Shabbos because it's a problem of hachana. You're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for after Shabbos. So this way of what we do here, which is very practical, solves a lot of those problems. That's why we do it. So again, that's the point. We take off shoes, do everything after Shabbos is over, after saying Baruch HaMavdim and Kodesh L'chol. Any questions about that point before we go on? What did you say? It should be. Again, I didn't check the times yet, but it'll probably be about 10 or 15 minutes. That's usually what it is. The last couple years we've had this year, that's what it's been in all the shuls. I'm assuming it's going to be the same thing this year also. Again, some posts can disagree with this, by the way. Some posts can say that's not really the way to do it. You should dafka, say Baruch HaMavdil, and take off your shoes while you're in shul, for those, at least for men who go to shul. But this is the custom here, and this is what many, many posts can say, and it makes a lot of sense. So that's what you should do. When it comes to tefillah, so Shmon Esrei Ma'arav is the regular Ma'arav with Brachos of Kriya Shema and Shmon Esrei. After Kaddish, after Ma'arav, is Eicha. Is Kaddish, the right regular Kaddish? I'm going to get back to it. Okay. Maybe the next point after Marav. Okay. Correct. So you should say Atachan Tanu in Marav. Those who daven Marav should say Atachan Tanu in Marav. After Marav, again, is the regular Kaddish with Tiskabel. Then comes reading Eicha. Then comes V'atak Kadosh. For those, again, Marav, Moshe Shabbos, we don't say V'hinoam this year, because V'hinoam is basically about the Beis HaMikdash, but not about the destruction. It's about the positives, and therefore we do not say Vihinoam, straight of Takadosh, and then we say again Kaddish without Tiskabel, and then Aleinu. That's the order of Tefillah in the Shul, the way that it should be done. Now let's get to Havdalah. Okay, this is another one of the big questions when it comes to Tisha B'Av on Motzei Shabbos. So the first question is, do we say Havdalah this year? Meaning normally you say Havdalah after Shabbos, and then you drink your wine. This year, of course, if you're fasting, you're not going to drink wine for Havdalah and Motzei Shabbos. So do you say Havdalah at all? And the answer is, in the Rishonim, it's actually a machlokas. There are some Rishonim that say Chazal never made Havdalah this year. You say, if you daven Ma'arav, you say Atachan Tanu, and of course, if not, you say Baruch HaMavdil and Kodesh L'chol. And this year, again, before you go to Shul, those of us who are here, you say Baruch HaMavdil either way at home. But some say you don't say Havdalah at all. However, the practice is the bottom line. Halacha, this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. We pask in that you do say Havdalah. However, you don't say Havdalah until when? Until Sunday night. Okay, why? Because you have to say Havdalah on a cup of wine. So assuming that you're fasting until Sunday night, you don't say Havdalah until Sunday night. Therefore, Sunday night after the fast, what you do is you say the Bracha of Bori Pri HaGafen. Okay, and then straight to the Bracha of HaMavdil and Kodesh L'chol. Okay? That's the Bracha on the cup of wine. And that's it, and then you drink. Okay, no Besamim at all this year, meaning no Besamim on Motzei Shabbos and no Besamim on Sunday night. Why is that? It's pretty logical, you can figure it out. Because Besamim is made basically because you want to make yourself feel better after your Neshama Yisera leaves after Shabbos. But this year, if we're fasting and mourning, we don't really want to make ourselves feel better. Okay, we're not trying to make ourselves feel good and, you know, make our neshama be comforted. We don't want to be comforted. We want to be mourning. We want to be upset. We want to be in distress over the Churban. So no besamim on Motzei Shabbos, and besamim in general was never enacted for Sunday. Okay, even if you don't make Abdullah any other time of the year, on Motzei Shabbos you never say besamim on Sunday morning, Sunday night, whatever it is. So therefore, no besamim.
Someone who breaks their fast.
We'll get there. Hold on. Wait, that's the next point. Very good. In terms of Borei Mor Ha'esh, this is the only bracha that we do say. Okay, the bracha of Borei Mor Ha'esh is lumped together with Havdalah, but it's not really about Havdalah. It's really more about the fact that fire was created on Motzei Shabbos. That's when Adam HaRishon figured out how to make fire. So therefore, we make a bracha to remember that of Borei Mor Ha'esh on Motzei Shabbos, and we lump it together with Havdalah. So that, because it doesn't really have to do with Havdalah, that bracha is said this year on Motzei Shabbos. When is it said? So again, for those of us in Yemen here and places that do this, so the best thing to do is to say the bracha of Borei Mor Ha'esh before the men go to shul. Okay, the man should say the bracha of Borei Mor Ha'esh when the women are there and everybody in the house is listening, and then afterwards he goes off to shul. Okay,
just
the bracha. Correct. Correct. Just Borei Mor Ha'esh. What'd you say? Use a regular Shabbos Havdalah candle. Okay, use a regular avuka, you know, torch, whatever candle you usually use for after Shabbos. Use the same regular light. Pet it however you want, however you normally do. Meaning it's a normal Motzei Shabbos, it's not Yom Tov. You can blow it out, do whatever you want. I got you. If you want to still pour the grape juice, you can still do that, right? You can't drink it, but you can still pour it in if you want to pour it in. But that bracha should be, right? Okay.
So you say Borei Mor Ha'esh, and then you say...
Nothing else, that's it, just that. Hamavdil is Sunday night, but not Motzei Shabbos.
But you didn't say Borei Mor Ha'esh. No.
So yeah, you got to say first. Again, let's review one more time. After Shabbos is over, again, 8:25, whatever it is. So before you go to shul, men. Before you go to shul, so the first thing everybody does says Baruch Hamal doing Kodesh L'chol.
Okay.
Now Shabbos is officially over. Okay. Now again, what you can do next is you can light your candle for your Borei Mor Ha'esh, and then you can make your bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Mor Ha'esh. Okay. And after that, you can start getting yourself ready for Tisha B'Av, you know, for changing your clothes and kinos, whatever it is. Again, those that not here but in other places, they have a question, because if the men are already in shul, there's a shaila whether women are chayav to say the bracha Borei Mor Ha'esh. And since it's not clear, so some people say maybe women shouldn't recite it at all; they should hear the man say it. But if the men heard it in shul, there's a bit of a shaila about what to do. So again, there's a machlokas about that point. But here we don't have to worry about that, because here the men are still home. So that's why the best thing is for the men to say it right after Shabbos is over. And then everybody listens, and that's fine. Again, if not, if for some reason the husband's not home, the wife can say it anyway. Okay, that's the bottom line. But again, that's not so clear. Some disagree with that point. We can talk about that more later if you want. All right. That's in terms of Borei Mor Ha'esh. Now, what about the rest of Havdalah if somebody's not fasting? Okay, meaning if you're fasting, then you wait for Havdalah until Sunday night. What happens if you're breaking your fast, for whatever reason, medical or other, during the day on Tisha B'Av? What do you do for Havdalah? So the answer is that you have to make Havdalah. You cannot eat until you make Havdalah. So therefore, whoever is breaking their fast really has an obligation to say the same Havdalah that you would say Sunday night, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri HaGafen, and then say Hamavdil, okay, before they eat or drink.
Drink grape juice.
What'd you say? So hold on, we'll get to that in a second.
So
first,
big Havanah, they know they're not going to fast the next day,
they should make Havdalah whenever they need to break their fast. Okay?
Even if it's on Sunday.
Yeah, correct. You have to make Havdalah before you eat.
It's Sunday morning.
You make Havdalah. Correct.
But it's just Borei Mor Ha'esh.
No. Again, let's not get confused. Borei Mor Ha'esh is Motzei Shabbos. That's always Motzei Shabbos and never on Sunday.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. The only question of what we're talking about now is, again, the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen and Hamavdil. That should be said if you break your fast before you break your fast. Right before you break your fast. You break your fast at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, you make Havdalah first, and then you break your fast with whatever else you want to do. Right. Okay. Hold on, we'll get to that in just a second. Okay, before we get to the children, in terms of the adults. So again, for women, there's a shaila whether women are chayv and havdalah, at least for Ashkenazim. Sfaradim, the answer is that Sfaradim generally assume that they are. For Ashkenazim, there's a question whether women are allowed to say havdalah on their own. So therefore, would you say? Usually what? Yeah, for sure. Dharma? Yes. That's why usually the man makes havdalah for the woman. Then the woman can make it. Then yes. General halacha. You don't have to fast all week. Yeah. Okay, general halacha is that if there's no husband or man around to make havdalah for you as a woman, then the woman can recite havdalah. L'charchila, the preferred practice is that a man should recite havdalah for a woman, because it's not clear that a woman is obligated to say havdalah, and therefore maybe it's a bracha levatala. Okay, that's the generally preferred practice. Normally, for the rest of the year. Again, if your husband's not home, you're allowed to make Havdalah. Okay, women. For Tisha B'Av, the same thing is true, that also if a woman is the one who's going to break her fast, so then she has to make Havdalah. But because there's a suffix that whether she should make Havdalah, so some say, and this is a good practice, though it's not required, but it's a good idea, it's probably recommended, that the husband, listen, let's be very careful about this. The husband can write the Havdalah, the Bor Pri HaGafen, and the Hamavdil, and then the wife gets to, the wife drinks. Okay? Okay, so what do you drink? So this is the next question. What do you drink? So, everybody agrees it's better not to drink wine. It seems like, and it's not, it seems like the preferred custom is to drink Chamer Medina. Okay, what's Chamer Medina? Again, I'm getting to a lot of halachas, which you may not be familiar with, maybe you are. Other types of drinks, which are not wine or grape juice, that, again, the rest of the year, if you didn't have wine or grape juice, you could make Havdalah on those drinks. It's machlokes where those drinks are, but everybody basically agrees, like, you know, whiskey, beer. Brandy, beer, stuff like that. Everybody agrees that is included. Many posts also agree that soda and coffee and tea and things like that are also included. So, when it comes to Havdalah here, many poskim say that it's better to make Havdalah on Tisha B'Av using some form of Chamer Medina. Now again, personally, I can't drink scotch or brandy or whiskey or whatever. Maybe beer I could do, but if not, at least soda or something like that. Many poskim would recommend making Havdalah on that over wine or grape juice because, you know, that's not a good idea on Tisha B'Av. However, if for whatever reason that's not good, if you can't do that or don't want to, whatever, then you make Havdalah on the wine or grape juice. Okay, and then the person who's making Havdalah, the person who needs the Havdalah should drink. Okay, meaning the husband can make the Havdalah and the wife can drink it afterwards. That's permissible. If the husband's not around, then the wife can do it herself. Okay, same as any other time. But
but if you have a 7-year-old kid there or a young kid, that normally...
I saw this discussed. Most of the poskim say it's a good question. It's not so clear. Okay. It seems like the poskim prefer that the kid not drink the wine. Why? Because the kid's going to get confused because they're going to think other years maybe they also could drink or whatever on Tisha B'Av, wine and stuff like that. It seems like it's recommended for on Tisha B'Av itself, not for the child to drink, if possible. Okay? Meaning for Havdalah specifically. Okay? Again, it's a bit of a discussion, and we're not going to get into the details now, but that's what it seems like. Most posts can say that it's better for the child not to do so in this particular situation where you're making Havdalah early because you need to eat. It's better for the adult who needs it to drink it instead, because again, a gzeira, we're worried that maybe the child is going to misunderstand, you know, what to do during other years.
Is the mitzvah to give your child whiskey on Tisha B'Av?
No. I'm saying the child shouldn't. No. Not the child shouldn't get. No children. No children. No. Let's try this again. No. Hey, it's better. Yeah, gosh. Look what happens when you misunderstand. No, just kidding. So people are going to say, I said that you should give the child, oh my gosh. No children drinking whiskey or whatever. No. Not the rest of the year, not on Tisha B'Av either.
What is the reason against grape juice? Because it's a chashuv drink?
Grape juice for these purposes is considered to be like wine.
And a chashuv
is
more chashuv?
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, same idea. That wine or grape juice is not appropriate for Tisha B'Av if you can help it. If you can't help it, if the other options are not practical for whatever reason, then you drink.
Yeah,
meaning non-wine or grape juice. Wine or grape juice is considered to be special. Okay. Again, if you want to talk about whiskey and beer and all that kind of, that's one category. The other category, again, personally, if you ask me, I think that soda is included also, but not everybody agrees with that. Soda, coffee, some people say also orange juice. It depends. You know, nice orange juice could be. Yes, but... Even though that's true, you know, a lot, there's a big machlokes in the post about what's considered to be included and what's not included. So some people say this one is included, other ones say that one's not, but this one is, and the other ones say this one's not, and that one is. What is that?
Like the soda is more chashuv.
See, if you ask me, I think that's, at least in this country, I think in Israel, I think that the soda is considered to be more chashuv than certain other drinks. But again, you know, that's my opinion. Others disagree, okay? Others disagree. You're never going to get... Yeah. But for these purposes, I think that I would go with soda. But again, if for a reason you don't have or whatever, it's difficult to go you know, you can have the wine or the grape juice. That's right. Orange juice too. Right? There you go. Yeah, no, coffee's good. I think most people. Okay. Last point on this. What do you do if children are going to eat on Tisha B'Av, so do they need to make Havdalah? So the answer is, and this is also an interesting discussion, the bottom line is the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says that children that are eating on Tisha B'Av do not need to hear Havdalah. Okay, even if they're 9, 10, 11, 12, not 12 for boys, not for girls. Girls have to pass. Children do not need to hear Havdalah because children are all allowed to eat before hearing Kiddush on Shabbos. Maybe it's good to hear Kiddush, but the bottom line is that children, because when it comes to eating, that's part of, you know, issues that have to do with the physical body, so children are not subject to those rules. And therefore, a child does not have to hear Havdalah on Tisha B'Av. You shouldn't make Havdalah for your child if they want to eat on Tisha B'Av, only if you need to hear Havdalah.
They can make themselves. If they
If they want to, I guess they could. If they're, yeah, they don't have to. If they want to, I guess they could. Yeah, if they want to, they could.
They don't have to.
They don't have to. No, right. You don't even have to encourage them. You don't. You know, if they want to, it's their choice. But you don't. There's definitely no need to. That's what the Shmir Shabbos says. That's true, but I'm saying Havdalah, either way, they would have, you know, normally they hear Havdalah every Shabbos, but the point is that they're not...
Because they're not
allowed to them. Right, I mean, they can have Havdalah Sunday night. Okay, they can have Havdalah Sunday night with everybody else. The point is that the Isser of not eating before you make Havdalah does not necessarily apply to children. Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's why children do not need to have Havdalah, according to the Shmir Shabbos.
So let's say regular once a Shabbos, you wait, you require 20 minutes for the kid to come back from his pool, that he hasn't come back.
Or, right.
Because you make Havdalah. Huh? So does the kid who's below Bar Mitzvah or Bat Mitzvah, does he or she have to make Havdalah again?
I shouldn't say. It might be a machlokas, but the bottom line is they probably do not have to. But it's not a bad idea if they want to. It's not a bad idea if they want to. They should. But it seems like, you know, they can, you know, they have to fast for the next 3 days before they hear Havdalah. But again, it should be that. Again, I don't know how it works. But if there's a way to, you know, do it while they're home, it's better to do it while they're home. But if you can't, so you know. Yeah, I understand. So again, you could talk about whether they want to do it themselves. They probably won't want to. Okay, most kids don't want to make up all by themselves. So I don't think you have to. You know, you don't have to go crazy about it.
I thought the fasts related to the destruction aren't necessarily a chinuch thing for kids.
It depends what age. Okay, from age 9 and up, generally accepted halacha is that they are included in the rules of avelus. And therefore, when it comes to some of these issues of fasting, eating and drinking maybe not, but other aspects of the fasting, yes, they should be included. Okay, your child who's over 9, generally the other aspects of, you know, sicha and shoes and stuff like that, shoes maybe even younger kids, but certainly over age 9 for sure, they are included in those things and should be careful about it. Again, only eating because they're good. We want healthy kids, not, you know, non-healthy kids. So eating is not included. Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just saying, we did hear one, like the concept that contact. Because Tisha B'Av is going to be a festive day,
right?
Eventually,
yeah.
That we're like, we don't want to train them.
Because by the time
I don't know. You have to tell me where that's from. Personally, I'm not familiar with it. Again, the you heard also. I appreciate if you could find me a source. I hear you. Again, it seems like a nice idea, but I haven't seen it in halachic sources. But it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I don't know everything. You know,
train the kids to fast. What does that?
You meant in terms of eating and drinking or other things, other aspects of fasting?
Fasting.
The actual eating and drinking.
Eating and drinking. So again, because we assume by the time they are bar mitzvah, uh-huh. they won't need to fast.
Very interesting. That's the generally halakhically accepted, you know, halakhic reason which is offered is usually just that for health reasons. They can't do it. I'd like to see inside. I'd be curious if you hear it, if you can find it.
I don't remember what
age
that is.
Right. So again, you know, the halacha is that until age 12 or 13, children do not have to fast. If they want to, that's their choice. For Yom Kippur, there is a halacha about starting to fast a little bit in increments from age 10 or so and on. Tisha B'Av, there's no such halacha. So if they want to, it's not bad. It's a good training, and for a couple hours they probably can, but there's no requirement. They don't have to. You don't have to push them. You know, it's all based on what they feel like and what they're up to and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Any questions about any of those aspects of Havdalah that were confusing? Maybe you got the wrong conclusion, make sure, confirm that you got it right, anything like that, before we go to the next point. And we're almost done.
Because you said the other things start by Shkia.
Yeah.
So, first of all, we always get confused, and I call my friends and nobody knows, we always end up looking it up every year before Tisha B'Av and before Yom
okay.
Kippur. There are no harkakot for Tisha B'Av, and does it apply at night?
So it's a bit of a discussion. Okay, the bottom line is that there are harchakos according to many poskim, okay? Meaning, certainly at night. The daytime, maybe not. Daytime is a machlokas. Daytime, maybe you could be mekel. But at nighttime, there definitely are, certainly for Yom Kippur, and probably for Tisha B'Av also, that we can generally... Harchakos is basically the distancing between husband and wife that takes place when the wife is anita. So because marital relations, tashmish shemitah, is usher, amenedat Tisha B'Av, so generally it's... Again, this is not according to everybody, but the generally accepted custom is that the harchakos should be kept certainly at night. Certainly at night, and the day is a little bit less.
So I was going to ask if there's a difference now that it's the 10th of October, not the 9th of
October. To be honest, I didn't see that point discussed. I didn't see that as being one of the differences that you'll make ill for that reason, but it could be. I have to check. Okay, good question. I have to check. Again, but during the daytime, there is more room to make it also on harchakos. There are still some posts that are a little more machmir in the daytime for at least certain harchakos, at least for touching and stuff like that. Maybe not the rest of them. Right.
So that
I think that could make it all back, because some posts come to begin with even when it's not Tisha B'Av. Some poskim are makel of passing babies. Okay, meaning the rest of the hilchos nida. Some poskim are makel for that. So I think certainly for Tisha B'Av, certainly during the daytime, I think that's definitely okay. Personally, I wouldn't worry about that too much.
And that would start also with
I think so. Again, I have to check again. I think so. Yeah. I don't remember that being discussed about Shkia versus Tizbachav. It's a good point. I have to check, fine tune it. One would think that it's based on Shkia because all the rest of them are based from Shkia. So Lechora, it should be. Okay, it should be. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. You can assume that it's from Shkia. Okay, but if I see otherwise, I'll let you know. Okay, last point for tonight. Actually, last 2 points. In terms of Motzei Tisha B'Av, we'll do this first, then I'll go back to the fasting question. Motzei Tisha B'Av. So usually on Motzei Tisha B'Av, the halachas are as follows: you do not eat meat and drink wine on Motzei Tisha B'Av, and also all the restrictions of the 9 days continue until the midday chatzos of the 10th of Av, because that's the time the Beis Hamikdash was actually burning. Okay, it didn't actually start burning until the afternoon of the 9th of Av, and continued burning until midday on the 10th of Av. So generally, we're machmir until the 10th of Av. Chatzos with all the restrictions. So this year is not required because of the fact that we are already fasting on the 10th of Av. So therefore, all the restrictions, such as again washing clothes and eating meat and drinking wine, all those kinds of things, taking haircuts and everything else, is not in effect until Chatzos of this year, will be Monday. It is not. Everything is already permissible immediately after the fast is over. Okay, right after Tizkachav Marav is done, everything is finished, you can eat, drink, you can do everything else, everything is already mutter right away that night, with the exception of eating meat and drinking wine. Okay, eating meat and drinking wine is a continuation of the morning felt during the day. It's inappropriate to go straight from fasting and mourning for the temple if we really understand what the morning is about. Again, you have to think about this, because if you don't really get it, then the whole thing doesn't make sense. But assuming that your mindset, you're really into understanding what this whole day is about, and you're trying to connect with the idea of losing the Beis Hamikdash and what we're missing in this world, which is not the shiur I'm giving now, but it's a good shiur for a different time. Plenty of shiurim out that you can listen to about that. It's inappropriate to go straight into eating meat and drinking wine. So therefore, Sunday night one should not eat meat and drink wine. The exception being that the poskim do allow Sunday night having havdalah on grape juice or wine. Okay, Sunday night, good point. So Sunday night, most poskim say you don't have to do chamar medina. Most poskim say Sunday night for havdalah, you're allowed to have wine or grape juice as usual. Okay, there are some that say chamar medina is better, but the generally accepted rules, you can have grape juice or wine for havdalah on Sunday night. But additional grape juice or wine above and beyond the havdalah kos should not be drunk or eaten. Okay. All right. Last point. This is really the last point. Is there any difference in terms of the halachas of fasting when it comes to Tisha B'Av this year because it's a nidcha, because it's on the day after? So the answer is maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. What does that mean? So again, the regular rule is that the halachas of Tisha B'Av of fasting, eating, and drinking apply the same thing this year as they do any other year. Okay. That's the general rule. However, because of the fact that it's a nidcha, so some of the achronim say you could be more lenient in certain situations. Okay, and the Be'er Halacha says, this is in Sifson Tavkuf Nuntes, if you want to look it up, the Be'er Halacha basically says here, it's like one line, he says that just like the Shulchan Aruch says that somebody who actually has a bris, meaning somebody has a baby and the bris of their child is on Tisha B'Av, so they actually do not have to complete their fast. They can actually eat, they can break their fast in the afternoon after Chatzos. Yeah, so the Mesudas Mitzvah may not be till nighttime, but the person, the parents themselves are allowed to break their fast in the afternoon of this year, of Tisha B'Av Shenidcha. Again, we're not going to get into the details now because it's not so practical in most cases. Because it's a Yom Tov for them, that's the reason why. Absolutely, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for Ashkenazim and Sfarim, correct. Yeah, that's for everybody. Okay, for everybody. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, that the Rambam does not argue. He says you daven mincha, and then afterwards you can continue eating because it's considered your Yom Tov. That is not true for a regular Tisha B'Av. That's only Tisha B'Av this year, which falls out on Sunday when Shabbos is the 9th of Av. Okay, the Be'er Halacha says here the same thing is true for somebody who's choli ktsas, who's a little bit ill, uberes, somebody who is expecting sheish mechush ktsas, where she feels a little bit ill, a little bit of a headache or a little bit of a not feeling well. In those cases, the achronim say that you're allowed to eat. Okay, so what does this mean practically? So the Be'er Halacha basically is saying here, for Ashkenazim at least, that because it's pushed off this year, therefore, even though normally you can't break your fast so quickly for Tisha B'Av, you have to wait till you're really not feeling well, you're like lying down and you're really out of it, and etc., etc. This year, you would be allowed to break your fast, even if you're having a minor, you know, minor not feeling well. This doesn't mean you have to, but you could if you're having, you know, a bit of a headache and you really and you don't feel so well, and you want to lie down, whatever. But you're still able to function. Okay, you're a normal person. You can get up. You can walk around. You can go to shul. You can do whatever. So the poskim say that in this case, because it's an ilcha, you'd be allowed to be mekel and break your fast. Certainly, if you're having problems with, you know, it's hot and you're feeling a little bit dehydrated, for sure, in that case, you can break your fast if you want to. Again, you shouldn't put yourself in that situation. You should try your best to be able to fast as best as possible. You should drink a lot the day before. You should make sure not to be in the hot sun all day. I think this year is supposed to be pretty high out there, about 90 degrees Fahrenheit, maybe 37 or so Celsius, from what I remember. But, you know, certainly try to avoid, you know, be inside air conditioning, have things for your kids to do, etc., etc. But, you know, when necessary, you don't have to be so machmir about fasting. If you have a small, you know, a slight illness, you can be makel. The big chiddush is when it comes to svarim. So Dvoran, we already discussed this a little bit. Rav Avadya Yosef goes even farther. Rav Avadya says that the same way that during the other fast days, women that are expecting or are nursing do not have to fast at all, so for this year also, for Tisha B'Av on Sunday, they don't have to fast at all either. Okay, not every woman, but women that are fasting, women that are expecting or nursing. Even though normally at Tisha B'Av they should fast, but this year he says they don't have to fast at all. Maybe it's nice to fast for a couple hours just to feel like you're part of the tzibur, but he says halachically you don't really have to. Okay, that's it in terms of that point. Any other questions about that? Meaning? What's the connection?
Because it seems like according to Machaber that you have is Tisha B'Av this year, the
right
Tisha B'Av. So it's not the
right.
That's
so,
the Tachana.
Correct, but the point is that any time that the fast is pushed off,
but it's not.
It's not.
That's the point.
It's observed on the 10th of Av, but the bottom line is that once it's not on the right day, it automatically has a more lenient status. Yeah, it's like two divin. Okay, it's like a combination of, you know, it's like not. It's not really on ninth Av, but it's not exactly on the 10th of Av. We observe it on the 10th of Av, but for certain aspects, we could be a little more makeup. That's basically how it is. Okay, if you can wrap your head around that concept. And so. Okay, Yashar Koach, everybody. Bezer Hashem, we shouldn't have to fast, and should be able to go into Yom Tov. But if we are going to fast this year, we should be able to not only look at the detailed halacha that we spoke about here, but also take a little bit of a broader look at the philosophical outlines of underpinnings of Tisha B'Av, and make sure that it's not just a halachic observance of fast. It's really a, you know, philosophical and an emotional connecting to the fact that we don't have a base of English and that we've lost something here. Hopefully we can bring ourselves to the understanding of what exactly we've lost, and by that hopefully come to get it back, Bezer Hashem, very soon.